the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Thanks for listening. As the intro said, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. And we're going to talk comic books for the next half to an hour, maybe more, depending on if anybody calls in, talk to me on Skype. Comic related stuff. I'm your host, they call him Surfer, Silver Surfer, whatever you want to do, as long as I don't get in legal trouble. And I'm glad you're listening. If you're in the chat room here at Rant EM Radio, thanks. If you're listening on download, thanks for that too. Of course, there's other ways to listen. If you're listening to download, there's iTunes, there's Podbean, there's other ways of listening live. Stitcher, TuneIn, maybe Antique Radio, I don't know for sure. But thanks for listening anyway. And, we've had a new movie open this weekend, which we'll get into with the box office numbers. Transformers, The Last Night, opened at number one with its lowest opening total of any Transformer movie. For the weekend, it opened up at 45 million, but it's been out since Tuesday night, so for its Friday total, it only made $69 million domestic. I'll get into the budget in a second. Then when you compare this to what the last Transformer movie, Age of Extinction, in 5 days it made $120 million, so almost double what this has come out with. And Transformers 5, The Last Night, had a budget of $217 million, so if you just went by domestic, it is a total bomb and flop. But domestic is no longer the important thing. It is a critical thing, but the foreign numbers is more important these days because more markets are open to movie companies. And with China being the biggest market overseas and more movies getting into that particular market, actually, not a lot, but, you know, if you wanted to movies to get into the Chinese market in a year, then you're bound to do well. Mainly because, you know, these movies are brand new as far as some of these franchises. So overseas, sorry, I gotta get a new mic. My thing came off to prevent me from breathing into the mic and you hearing it. So hopefully next week I'll have this resolved. But overseas, it brought in $196 million, so its worldwide total is $265 million. Now, I saw that it's really doing well in China somewhere, but I can't remember where I saw that at. Now, before you go blaming China for saving Transformers the last night, see, what you got to remember is this is our fifth Transformer movie, and now that a lot of people have come to realize that these Transformer movies have no plot, no coherent story. Characters are foolish and dumb. It's starting to wear off. But over in China, this is only their second Transformer film, and they liked the last one, so they would assume that this one would be worth seeing. And that's how it works a lot of time with movies. Like, some movies do well off the strength of their last movie. If a movie is great and then a sequel comes out, well, the sequel may do more financially, but it may not be the better movie. And then when people see that that movie isn't as good, they don't come back for the following sequel after that, and that movie could be the best of them all, but people remember the last one and some of them not liking it, so they don't come back. That's what happened in the case of X-Men First Class, because a lot of people did not like X-Men The Last Stand. They skipped First Class, and a lot of people missed a great X-Men film. And so, how it works sometimes with Hollywood. Now, later on in this show, after I'm done doing news or talking to people on Skype, I'm going to rant and spoil the Transformer movie, and you are more than welcome to call in and add to that if you've seen the movie. And getting back to the rest of the box office numbers, Cars 3 added $25 million for a second place. Its domestic total is now up to $99 million. And there's another thing about what I was saying about how movies are affected by the previous incarnation. Cars 3, which is better than Cars 2, isn't doing as well financially as Cars 2, because people hate Cars 2, and it is the worst Pixar movie ever produced. But Cars 3 is better. But it's a worldwide total is $141 million. When you add in the domestic, now so far it's not making a lot of money overseas. I don't know if they haven't opened in a lot of markets yet, or the overseas people are smart enough to stay away because they just don't like the Cars franchise. Wonder Woman, another $25 million in its fourth week to bring its domestic total up to $318 million. And I believe I saw an article that said that Wonder Woman has surpassed Batman v Superman for domestic total. It certainly has surpassed Suicide Squad. So let me check these numbers real quick. I'm looking at it on Box Office Mojo. So, total gross for Man of Steel was $291 million. Batman v Superman is $330 million. Wonder Woman is $318 million domestic. Not yet. Okay, these are old numbers because I just saw on the same page, on the page before it. Yeah, okay, let me make sure I'm, sometimes I see numbers backwards. Okay, Suicide Squad. Okay, I'm going by the week. So it hasn't caught up to the total amount, but for a 24-day total, it is surpassed what these other movies made in 24 days. I don't know what that means, but and it's also doing better than what Mockingjay Part 2 did, which is the only female-led action blockbusters you can compare Wonder Woman to. Let's see if there's any other movies for this week that we need to mention. No, Captain Underpants brought in another $4 million for its total $65 million. The Guardians at 10th place brought in $3 million up to $380 million. So right now, I think it's the highest grossing comic book movie of the year so far. And I would say that it's probably, well, no, we got Spider-Man coming up in a couple of weeks. And the early buzz on that is this is the best Spider-Man movie ever produced. So that may do hell of a box office haul. I don't know if it can do what Spider-Man 3 did. But we'll see. You know, a lot more people are excited that Marvel was doing it as opposed to Sony. And then, of course, we got Thor coming out and Justice League. But the movie, as far as comic book related, that will probably be the highest grossing film of 2017 will be The Last Jedi, because it's Star Wars and it's going to outdo everything. It comes at the right time of the year where you get the holiday money. And so, you really have to put a huge number in the summer in order to outdo what Star Wars is going to do when it comes. And it's going to probably be the number one movie of the year, beating out Beauty and the Beast. So, let's see, Stanley's in the chat room. And I don't know who else is in the chat room. It's like three users. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them when I check the chat room from time to time, because I can't have that browser open and do other browsing. Like for the news. Let's see what's available. Let's start from the bottom, work our way up. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but Sony's trying to confirm that their Spider-Man spinoff will tie into the MCU. And I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe they just mean that, you know, Spider-Man shows up, they'll use Tom Holland, which makes sense. You want to have a little coherency. Let's see. Wonder Woman to clash with Conan with Gail Simone writing. That ought to be interesting. This is through Newsrama. DC Wonder Woman is crossing swords with Dark Horse Conan in an all-new 6-issue title from got distracted there for a second. Now, if I can just close this pop-up ad. Here we go. Two publishers titled Wonder Woman Conan. Wonder Woman alums Gail Simone and Aaron Leporzi, I messed that name up, are working on this book, which is scheduled to debut September 20th. So, if you're a Wonder Woman fan, you're a Conan fan, you got that to look forward to. Let's see. If you're ever in Philadelphia, you know we have a plethora of comic book shops. But the one shop that seems to be blowing up and even talked about nationally is Amalgam Comics, located in the heart of Philadelphia. And the comic shop has been awarded $50,000 to open more doors. Let's see. I've been there once, but let me read this article to you real quick. It says, comic book stories like their retail cousins, record shops are often drawn to tight quarters. Even the Android Dungeon, the comic shop out of Simpson fictional landscape, occupied only by a thin slice of imagined real estate. Okay, I'll skip all that part. This week, the Knight Foundation selected Johnson, that's the name of the owner, out of more than 4,500 applicants to receive a grant of $50,000. The 18-month comic shop aims to open the world to comics to an amalgamated of audience. This grant will help the store reach even more. Johnson proposal, Up Up and Away building, a program space at Amalgam Comics and Coffee. I will expand the shop into Amalgam University, where hopefully writers and illustrators can take classes on drawing, writing, pitching, and publishing. Johnson has already made waves in the comic world when she opened up a store in December 2015. Johnson became the first African-American woman to own a comic book store in the East Coast. In addition to a largely white male-authored mainstream staple of Amalgam stocks, many of the works writers, people of color, women, and members of the LGBT community, as well as those of independent creators. Because of Amalgam shall sell self-published works, Johnson gets a lot of amateur submissions, and many of them don't meet the standards for retail. Often idea, but that are there, but haven't studied the craft, Johnson explained, it's a comic book, but it's also literature. Just like the good writers in literature, there's good writing and illustrators from comic books. Sorry. Well, I've been to Amalgam, and it seems like it's a nice idea that, you know, they have events there, and, you know, they got a space for it, and now they're going to have more space so they can people can do their thing, and, you know, hopefully it'll expand the comic book industry as far as the creative side for people that normally can't get into the business. So, kudos for that. Now, all you Batman animated series fans, some people say that this movie is the best Batman film ever produced. Batman Mask of Phantasm. And it's being remastered for Blu-ray. Now, this was the only animated Batman to come out in the theaters. And I don't mean like a one-night thing like a Killing Joke or Return of the Caped Crusader. I mean, it was released in the theaters for a few weeks for people to go consume and buy the tickets. So Warner Brothers has announced a high-definition Blu-ray of the 1993 Batman animated series spinoff movie Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, which a feature-length film with cinematic continuity of the animated series and features familiar characters like Batman, Joker, along with new nemesis and a romance that could put an end to the hero that is Batman. Bruce Timm was involved with all that, and he was one of the directors on the film. Let's see when it comes out. They haven't released a release date yet. But if you haven't seen it, that might be an opportunity to actually go pick it up. Because it is a good movie. I don't know if I would put it as the best of the Batman films, but I can't argue for you if you feel that way. And it looks like Warner Brothers is not getting the memo. They're not getting the message. Now, I'm trying to make sure this video don't play on this page, because at least you won't hear it. I hate the internet. I really do. So anyway, the deal is Warner Brothers is announced that they're going to produce R-rated movies in the future. Telling Variety they admire recent R-rated superhero hits like Deadpool and Logan and sees the rating a possible way of differentiating DC's movie from the family-friendly fare of Marvel Studios. which, as I said, they're not getting the right message. You know, it's a thing where one of the reasons why comic book movies kind of faded at one point in the earlier days, because everybody thought we got to go dark and gritty. And thinking that, all right, let's make R-rated comic book movies, that'll be the moneymaker. It's not. Your characters are not R-rated characters for the most part. And even a Batman film, I don't want to see an R-rated Batman film. You look, you can make Batman as hard-hitting as possible, but let's not make Batman R-rated so you can have him curse and kill or get some ass in a sex scene. Somebody call on Skype? Sorry. Oh, no. Nobody's calling me on Skype again this week, it seems like. So, they think, you know, like I said, Deadpool and Logan. And, look, Deadpool is an exception to make that R-rated. And Logan, well, that's been something that we've all wanted for a while since they started doing Wolverine in movies. Like, he's an exceptional character when it comes to doing something R-rated. And it just happened to work with this one movie. Now, do I want every Wolverine movie to be R-rated? No, but this one was the right one to do a R-rating for. And I love Logan. I mean, I got the, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy. I keep meaning to post something to give away the digital code for a caller, and maybe I'll try to do it next week so I can give everybody a fair chance, because it wouldn't be fair for those listening now to call up after I just mentioned it and then get the code. But DC does have characters you can use with a hard R, but they're not well-known characters. Like, okay, some people may know Swamp Thing from the movies back in the day with Adrian Barbeau, but they may not know Swamp Thing as that kind of character for R-rated movie. You got John Constantine. You can make that R-rated. Now, they did a John Constantine before with Keanu Reeves. There is the guy from the John Constantine TV show that seems to be perfect in the role. And he's done the voice work on TV shows and live action TV shows. And if you cast him in a live action movie, which would be the smart thing to do and not cast somebody else just because you don't want to be associated with the TV show, you could get a nice R-rated movie. But that doesn't mean you're going to make the kind of money Deadpool and Logan made. What movie? Judge Dredd, Dredd 3D, R-rated. Love that movie. He didn't make a lot of money because, you know, people remember the Sylvester Stallone version. They didn't like that one. And some people was even dumb enough to think, oh, they're doing another Stallone Dredd movie. I had somebody message me that they was doing a Judge Dredd movie with Stallone again, and I had to tell them, no, that's not the case. And they've been talking about doing a Dredd TV show. But just because you make a comic book movie R-rated doesn't mean it's going to make a lot of money. In fact, there's more proof out there that you may not make the money, because here's the thing. You got to make a movie at the right price point for your budget. Some characters aren't going to be cheap to make, and if you make them cheap, it's going to look cheap and people are going to be turned off by it. But Constantine, you might not have to spend a lot of money on that, but you still, you know, if you're dealing with demons and stuff like that, you don't want that to look cheap. So who knows how much it's going to cost you. So you got to get the right price point where you make it at a affordable price so you can make a profit. There's no guarantee people are going to run out and see John Constantine just because it's R-rated. Nobody wants an R-rated Superman. Nobody wants an R-rated Wonder Woman. Nobody wants an R-rated Green Lantern. Those Flash, definitely not Flash. You can't make your core DC characters R-rated. So you got to go with the characters not least likely known. And you know, Deadpool is a phenomenon. You know, Deadpool's been picking up steam in the I don't know, zeitgeist, if you want to call it, for a while. So, and then, you know, it was marketed great, you know, that, you know, it was talks about doing Deadpool, even though a lot of people didn't like what happened in the X-Men Origin Wolverine movie, the way they did Deadpool. And the studios didn't want to do it, but Ryan Reynolds, he really wanted to do it. And he took his own, I think he took his own money and made that little short clip where he kicks the people's ass on the highway, and it leaked onto the internet. Leaked, I guess, if you want to call it leaked. And the people were nuts, and that indicated, yes, we can get away with doing a Deadpool movie. And there's no guarantee that the second Deadpool movie is going to be a hit. You know, they might not get the right story. It just may be, that may have been a flash in the pan. We don't know. So, DC, you are learning the wrong lesson trying to do R-rated DC movies at this point. Just stick to, you know, getting it right first before you start coming up with these hard R movies. Now, I do have a review of Transformers The Last Night. You can find it on my Facebook page, or you can find it on the Rant EM page if you want to listen to that. And of course, I'm going to talk about that later. Let's see. Now, Fox, they're not getting the memo either, but for the opposite reason. They want to reboot Fantastic Four because, of course, they don't want to lose it. And they have to reboot at a, you know, they have to reboot in order to keep the rights. And Fox don't want to lose the rights to Fantastic Four, even though people are not going to fall for another Fantastic Four movie from Fox. It just, it's, at this point, it's nothing they can do to make a make profit off of that franchise. And they might as well just work some out with Marvel or let it go. But they want to do a kid-friendly Fantastic Four reboot. And this is according to comicbook.com. It says, if you thought 20th Century Fox was going to give up on Fantastic Four, think again. The studio failed to launch a film franchise with the previous reboot of the Marvel team. But the company isn't ready to bow out just yet, according to the new news report by Bleeding Cool. It looks like Fox is working on yet another Fantastic Four reboot, which was geared towards a younger audience. Editor-in-chief Rich Johnson posted in an article earlier today regarding the report reboot. Bleeding Cool's sources stress a new Fantastic Four film in a development that doesn't focus on the Marvel team original members, instead features to set the following: Franklin and Valeria, the two children of Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman, according to the reports. The Human Torch and the Thing will also appear in the film as a kid-friendly film following its young leads. Tony, it appears that the reboot is meant to feel similar to The Incredibles. The aesthetic shift will completely separate the new Fantastic Four film from its predecessor. Excuse me. Fox most recently takes on the heroic family was panned for being too dark, while its earlier take failed to impress fans with its narrative. Alright. Where do I start? I don't mind if you're going to have the kids of the Fantastic Four in the movie. That's fine. That's part of the Fantastic Four mythos. But it seems like they're going to do a film through their eyes of the Fantastic Four. And you don't need to make a kid-friendly Fantastic Four. You just need to make an all-age Fantastic Four. Now, a lot of people say The Incredibles was a great version of Fantastic Four. Who doesn't love The Incredibles? I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. I think it's my favorite Pixar movie. Having said that, I never buy into it is the Fantastic Four, other than the fact that they're family. See, I love it when people take a movie that's similar to another franchise and say it's the best version of what they could have done. Where if you took the Incredibles characters and made it into a Fantastic Four film, people would reject it off. They would reject it because it's not like watching the Incredibles isn't the Fantastic Four, but it's similar to the Fantastic Four. But if you made the Fantastic Four like the Incredibles, it's not going to work because people wouldn't have went for it. You don't have to copy the Incredibles. The Fantastic Four has its own rich history. Go with that. I even wouldn't mind if they made a Fantastic Four and copied the Future Foundation, which was the members of the Fantastic Four taking on some children with gifted abilities and smarter than most humans today, and trying to steer them towards, you know, making the world a better place. And the running one in the comics was brilliant under Hickman, and even after that was pretty good. But before you start trying to say that, oh, we're gonna make it more kid friendly, that's not gonna work either. You gotta make it so that adults and children will like it, not just a kid friendly version. But you can bring in the children too. Who's sending me? I got a call. Sorry, let me get that person on. See what they have to say. Yeah, it's not going to work if you make it kid-friendly.
What's up, man?
What's up?
What's up? What's going on, man?
I hear an echo. Is that me or you? I think we're good. So, what What's makes you call on Sunday, this hot day?
I'm off today, so I wanted to see what you were talking about.
Well, I was talking about how I think it's a mistake that the reboot for the Fantastic Four is supposed to be kid friendly.
How you gonna do?
Go ahead. How what?
How do that?
Well, you know they're gonna add in, you know, the Mr. Fantastic Invisible Woman's children, and the movie's gonna be seen through their eyes, basically. Oh, so, which means it'll be more jokey, more silliness, you know. And look, like I said, I don't mind if you bring the kids in. You can bring in the Future Foundation kids, but
second bad Fantastic Four movie. But this is gonna be second bad.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. And I was, before that, I was talking about how DC wants to do more R-rated movies, and I'm like, that's not going to work either.
Nope.
Because sure the movies they have that are, you know, the characters that are R-rated aren't as known, and then if you try to take the known characters and make them R-rated, that's not going to work either.
Man, it's crazy, man.
See, Deadpool and Logan, they're anomalies when it comes to R-rated films. You can do it. Listen, you can do R. Blade was R-rated, but Blade didn't make multiple $100 million. It made like $80 million. It was considered a hit. You know, they had the right budget, and you know it kicked off what we're going through now in these comic book movies. But you know, if you think, oh, all we got to do is make it hard and R-rated, it's not going to work. Anyway, did you see Transformers yet?
I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
Yeah, because you haven't listened to my review yet, right?
Nope.
No, well, I'm gonna go off on that movie at the end of the show because it's a lot I didn't say in my review that I need to get off my chest. Now,
who directed it?
Who do you think directed it? Who directed all the other ones?
Again?
Yeah. Now, I'll get into that. Don't worry.
Oh my goodness.
Now, you know, since Disney bought out Star Wars, they're determined to put out a Star Wars movie a year to get their money back. They almost got it back at this point because the last two movies done huge money. And Last Jedi is just going to crush the box office. But, you know, the movie supposed to come out after that is the Young Han Solo film. And people was excited because of the casting and the directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller was doing the directing. They did the Lego Movie and 22 Jump Street and films like that. And just about most of the films they've done have been hits. Well, now they're no longer doing the movie. You know, basically it was fired, but everybody put out the statement about creative differences. And so the word is that Lord and Miller kind of wanted to deviate from the script, and the powers that be that run Lucasfilm was like, no, we got a guy, he's been writing, you know, Han Solo for decades, he know what he's doing, let's just keep it tight to the script. And, you know, the clashing of that caused them to lose their directors, and they was already filming the movie. And now, you guess who's taking over?
Who?
Opie Cunningham himself. Ron Howard is taking over the Han Solo film. What do you think about that?
What, this is his what? How many movies has he directed before this?
Oh, he's done tons.
He's done.
Come on, hold on. Don't stop. Don't do that. No, okay. What do you mean, how many movies? You need a count? Because I can't count that many movies.
Oh, he's done a few.
No, he's done a lot.
I mean, he's alright. I mean, he's not any extraordinary director.
He's done some great movies. He's done some good movies. He's done some average movies. He's done a couple bad movies. But for the most part, he's considered a good director.
Maybe a good director that you don't have to... Let me stop. I'll even go there. Direct, you don't have to pay much.
No, he ain't cheap. Why would you think he's cheap?
I'm just saying, you know, if you're a great director, you won't have a bad movie. If you're a great director.
But the thing is, okay, Star Wars films aren't usually directed by a director of his type. Like, they brought in J.J. Abrams to do Force Awakens, and yeah, he's a known director, but that's the kind of movies he make. With Ron Howard, he does
so he's gonna be directing a movie that's not of his genre, in other words.
Well, that he normally doesn't do, not to say he can't do it.
Even more reason to be suspicious. But we'll see. Anyway, so, you got to answer a question for me, and this is why I called me. You mean to tell me? You mean to seriously tell me Batman is getting married?
Well, he proposed to Catwoman. Yeah, maybe, you know, he's been married before in the comics with the Catwoman.
Adam West is turning to his grave right now.
I told you. You saw what I posted on my page, right?
Yes. Turning in his grave right now.
What's the big deal? If he doesn't get married to Catwoman, then you get no Huntress.
Yeah, I guess. But that's the last thing you expect Batman to do. You know, it's about the mission. You know what I'm saying? That's about the mission with Batman. And now all of a sudden he's gonna have
but to Catwoman's been his on again, off again love for a long time.
But now all of a sudden instead of doing the mission, he gotta worry about a honeydew list? Come on.
No, I mean she who she is. She'll help him fight crime. She maybe steal a diamond or two once in a while. it's Catwoman. No big deal.
Look, I know what happened once before, but I don't agree with the second time around.
He's directed 47 movies.
Okay.
The last known one, he might be doing Zelda.
He might be good at that one.
He did Inferno, which nobody seemed to care about. He did Hard to See, which nobody saw. He did Rush, which I love, but nobody saw that either.
Yeah.
He did The Dilemma, which stunk.
Yeah.
He did Frost Nixon, which got a lot of critical acclaim. The Beautiful Mind. Mm-hmm. Grinch Stole Christmas. EdTV. Ransom. The Paper. I like The Paper. That's a long time ago. Backdraft. Parenthood. Willow. People like Willow.
Yeah.
Cocoon. Splash.
Yeah.
Night Shift. Cotton Candy, Grand Theft Auto, that was a good one. I saw that a long time ago. But anyway.
But that's
at this point, look, half the movie's done. All you gotta do is finish it. It's not like he has to do anything extra. Like
he starts from scratch. I get it.
Now, of course, you excited for the Spider-Man movie coming out?
Yes.
You know they're doing an animated Spider-Man movie, right?
I didn't hear about that.
See, because you don't listen. You don't listen. I talked about it. They're doing the Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Oh, the Black Spider-Man. That's cool. That's so cool.
They got Mashallah Ali and Brian Tyree Henry's joining the Spider-Man animated movie. They're doing voices.
Okay. Now... At least they're giving Miles a base. At least they're just not coming out with a Black Spider-Man just to come out with a Black Spider-Man. You know, to give him a story for baseline fans to appreciate, you know.
Well, Miles, he's not new to the animated. He was on...
He was on Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was on the last Spider-Man series.
He was saying that just to do it. Because I still feel, oh boy, Black Superman was done just to shut people up.
Black Superman? What Black Superman?
I'm old boy from... Dang, his Kryptonian name.
Black Superman's not old. I mean, not new. They was, you know...
It's not new, but I'm just saying he was done just to shut people up. That's all I'm saying. The way
He's on a different Earth.
Yeah,
right?
Different Earth entirely.
Mm-hmm. No, there's been a Black Superman before. He's not a new character.
That one.
And then there's been a Black Superman in the movie. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was in a movie. I didn't know there was
You don't know about Tobar, the first Black Superman?
No. I know about Nubia, Black Wonder Woman.
No, you got it's an old 70s movie. Tobar, the first Black Superman.
171.
You got to rent that. You got to look for it. You got to look for it online.
I born 71.
Second out? Oh. Yeah, well, it came out in the 70s. Now, speaking of animated features, you know, you're looking forward to the Batman Harley Quinn movie, right?
I've been waiting on that.
Well, it's coming to the theaters for one day only. Phantom Events.
See, I got to look and see if it's going to be around here, because a lot of that stuff we don't get here in Augusta, so...
Tickets go on sale on June 30th.
Yes,
so at that point, you can find out where it's playing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you got a Regal near you in a AMC, right?
I got a Regal.
Then you should have Phantom Events.
We have a Regal.
Okay, so you should be able to see if you want to see it in the theater. And... You know Michael Beach?
I've heard the name.
You've seen him in movies, too. He's going to be a hijacker in the named Jesse Kane in the Aquaman film, directed by James Wan. Says Michael Beach has joined the cast of James Wan Aquaman as a character named Jesse Kane. Per Variety. What now? Why are all the Aquaman villains black? I gotta ask that question. No, I'm just kidding.
No, ask it. Feel free. But he is getting his own solo movie this year, right?
Aquaman?
Yeah, it's coming out
this year.
Next year. Okay.
Yeah, okay. It should be next year. Okay. Yeah, that's the plan. You know, people in the Justice League, they're going to have solo films. I don't know what's going on with Flash. But now that Lord Miller is no longer on Star Wars, and they originally supposed to do the Flash, so this talk, maybe they may go back to directing the Flash because they currently don't have a director.
Let me ask you this: what have you heard about Young Justice season 3? Have you heard anything else about it?
Yeah, well, the last thing I heard is they're gonna put it on the brand new DC network that's gonna be like on demand. Mm-hmm. You know, similar to Netflix, where they're gonna put a lot of DC stuff on there.
So are they gonna have it on both, or just the DC, that DC on demand channel?
Yeah, on their channel.
So it's not coming on Netflix at all.
And not initially, no. I mean, it might end up on Netflix at some point.
Right.
But that's not gonna be the main platform it's gonna come out on.
Right.
Leaks. Did you see the last X-Men film?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was word that Dazzler was supposed to have been in it, but she got kind of cut out of it or something, or it was supposed to be a thing where like she was on an album cover. Well, apparently Dazzler is now gonna be in the Dark Phoenix movie, which I think is not going to work. I've talked about that for weeks now. That is a mistake for them to try to do Dark Phoenix. And, you know, they messed up on it once, and they're going to mess up on it again. Because if you don't make it in the right context, you got to have weight to it. You know, you just met this version of Jean Grey, and already you're turning her to Dark Phoenix without getting to freaking know her. And why she would turn into Dark Phoenix in the first place. It made no sense why she turned into Dark Phoenix the first time. It was just, oh, she was a hidden personality that we kept locked away, but now we can't anymore. That's what Xavier explained in this bullshit. So Dazzler is going to be in this movie. She was introduced in X-Men 130. I have a copy of that.
Okay.
And then the real name is Allison Blair. Do you know originally Dazzler was supposed to have been black?
Now, see, that I didn't know, because the one I already saw in the comics, the one I saw was blind.
Right, blonde. Well, and I'm saying, when they came up with the concept of Dazzler, they wanted to pattern her after, don't blank on her name now, Donna Ross.
Okay.
And the people at Marvel said, well, can you make her white? And they said, okay. And that's what they made it into. And she was hot. She had her own book, but she kind of faded. She became part of the X-Men for a while, but she was used in the recent X-Men versus Inhuman storyline in a cool way, because the X-Men wanted to take out Black Bolt, because, you know, he's like one of the most powerful people you got to deal with that voice. Right. And when he realized he was being attacked, he used his sonic scream on who he didn't know was Dazzler, who turned sound into light. And so she converted it, blinded him, and then Emma Frost went into a diamond form and crushed his larynx, putting him out. So now I don't think it's going. All right, so there's a picture on the storyline where Cyclops is holding the Dazzler album cover in his hand, and it's Taylor Swift in the picture. And I don't know if that's who they're going to cast as a Dazzler, but it's not going to make a big deal that they're putting Dazzler in there, because they made a big deal about putting in a Jubilee in the last film,
right?
Barely used.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Dazzler is useless?
No, I don't. But I don't know if anybody's really going to care as far as the movie goes.
Right.
She's not going to be the character that's going to say, hey, this is the reason why I got run to see this next X-Men movie.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. If you can use it and use it right, that's fine. Now, since you're on the phone, you mind if I borrow some money from you? Don't laugh, because you know what? Because the art from the first appearance of Mickey Mouse is up for sale, and I don't want to buy it.
How much does it cost?
Currently, the price is set hovering around $2,400. But historically important pieces are expected to fetch much more. So, of course, I'm assuming it's an auction. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is an important thing. I want to own this character that was racist at one time and now family friendly. I want to get it.
Amazing how they turned that around.
Well, but that he was racist? Well, that was the times. They thought it was okay to do stuff like that. But, you know, put black people with bones in their nose and crap like that in the jungle. And I have a book called Uncensored Mouse, where it's whole strips of just like the offensive and racist Mickey Mouse stuff they published back in the day. I don't know what it's worth now, but you know, I have it.
I still get that. It's somewhere around here, that that first issue of Web of Spider-Man.
Now,
I still got that first issue.
Are you a fan of Thor? Do you pray to the God of Thunder, like I do?
Nope. Yeah, I ain't. But,
you know. No. See, this is you know, that's my God. You know, my God carries a hammer. Don't play around with my God. You know, Odin, he can go to hell. Zeus can fuck off. It's Thor. Okay. Because when I need my God to come in with some ass, he comes. But, you know, Odin's son, he's unworthy at the moment. He don't have his hammer. What can a man do? Can't pick it up.
Is that going across that Jane Foster storyline still?
What, that he's unworthy?
Yeah.
Well, how you think she got the hammer?
I'm just saying, because I thought they would have took... Because I've been in and out of that issue, and I thought they would have took care of that by now. They would have fixed it.
Took care of what?
Him being unworthy.
Well, no, they're getting to it. Don't worry. Jason Aaron's getting to it. Mm. And, you know, after the end of Secret Wars, the ultimate Thor hammer made its way into the Marvel Universe.
Right.
You know, it survived the battle world. And
I got. See, my guys are Icon and Blue Marvel. Those are my guys right there.
So, you know, when Odin's son found... All right, well, I would say, you got the Odin's son, and you got Jane Foster, she's Thor, she's kicking ass in ways Thor could never kick ass. Even talks to the hammer. The hammer talks to her back. She discovered that there's a living storm inside the hammer.
Yeah,
and the hammer will... take the shape of a person when necessary.
Ain't that some White Ranger Samba shit? Talking to one another.
Ain't that some what?
White Ranger Samba shit.
So, you know, Thor found out about the other hammer, and he went to go retrieve it, and, you know, had to fight off people like the Collector and Thanos' minions and all this other stuff, and then finally he got to it, and he was about to pick it up. He said, wait a minute. I could pick it up. But this ain't my fucking hammer. I'm going to go get my hammer back. And so now the hammer's still sitting there in old Asgard. Then somebody came along and picked it up. Well, Thor 25 came out today, and we found out who the new Thor is. Now, this is a spoiler, so if you don't want to know, people.
Yeah. Let me know.
What'd you say,
Let me know.
You're breaking up. What'd you say?
Who's the new Thor?
Volstagg. Volstagg picked up the hammer, and now he's the new War Thor. Because the Nine Realms is about to... They've been on the brink of war now since Malekith has been like going nuts. He's taking over the Light Elves. He's mining. He's allowing Roxanne to mine minerals from them. And, you know, all the rest of the realm, they're like, we can't take this shit no more. And people are picking sides. And Jane Foster is more than capable of kicking ass. And even the Odin son, he, without his hammer. But apparently we need a war, Thor. And he picked up that hammer, and now he's turned into the ultimate Thor.
Wow. Wow.
And usually Jason Aaron, it took a while for him to reveal that it was Jane Foster as Thor after she showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, he didn't waste time telling everybody that Volstagg is the new Thor, because like they showed an issue where somebody picked it up, but they didn't show who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But in this issue, they showed Volstagg going for the hammer and picking it up. So, of course, there's going to be problems between Thors at some point. But, and Jane Foster, you know she's dying, right?
Yeah, cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when she becomes Thor, it speeds up her cancer. Up. Mm-hmm. Like even if she takes treatment to get better, soon as she turns to Thor, you know, all that goes away.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, maybe she could stay Thor, but that's not who she is, so she don't want to stay Thor, but she can't help not being Thor.
Right.
Oh, and you know Thor is involved with Secret Empire.
That I didn't know.
Odin's son, he's working for Cap. He's part of Captain America's Avengers. And they're like, everybody's not happy with that. He's on Cap's side, because the thing is, Cap has his hammer and he wants to get his hammer back.
Ulterior motives, dead.
Yeah.
Did you see the Avengers yesterday on Disney?
For some reason, it didn't record. Like, was this like a second episode? I mean, a third episode?
It was the second.
Okay, I already saw the second. I saw the first two episodes last week.
Okay.
Where they were fighting the leader and his cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leader thought he was in charge. They're like, you ain't in charge. And it kind of like, you wonder why Kang would follow the leader of all people.
Yeah.
And so the Avengers have disappeared. Tony Stark disappeared at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's new Avengers, I guess led by Black Panther, and had to pick up the slack.
Yep.
So I didn't explain this to the people listening. Yeah, so new season of Avengers, it's called Secret Wars, and it started off with them Avengers trying to get back Tony Stark, and they were setting up this machine out in the open for some reason, and the leader came along and stole it, so the Avengers went to go get it back, only to run into the leader's cabal, which was Kang, Armin Zoloff, Enchantress, and the Executioner. And the Avengers were having a hard time, you know, and you know everything they did seemed like it was getting up a hand, but it was falling into the trap. And then they got they fell into the trap where they couldn't move, and all these devices that the leader stole was so that it can make them zap away or disappear or go in another dimension, whatever happened to them. But one of the things they stole was vibranium, which got the Black Panther involved. And he just was caring about getting his vibranium back. But once the rest of the Avengers got captured, he realized he couldn't take them on by himself. So he sent up the call for, you know, reserve Avengers. So Ant-Man and Wasp answered the call. Vision,
Miss Marvel, Captain
Marvel, and they was almost ready to free the Avengers, but they were too late. And the Avengers got zapped, and Cap was like, "Yo, get to carry on.
Have to avenge at cost.
And avenge.
Man, you know they came out. I don't know if you watched Death Battle, but they came out with an interesting one. Captain Marvel versus Android 18. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I watched that from time to time. I saw that came up, but So who won?
I said it wrong, but Android 18 won.
Based on what?
They said that Android 18 could absorb energy, but if you go back and look at the when Trunks finally destroyed Frieza, he was talking to Piccolo. Piccolo asked him, do these androids absorb energy like the others? And Trunks said no, because they're infinite energy models. So by her absorbing the energy from Captain Marvel.
Okay. I got it. First of all, whoever made that video, they got the information wrong.
Yeah.
17 and 18 couldn't absorb energy. 19 and 20 could.
Right, but 17 and 18 couldn't because they're infinite energy models. They didn't have to. So that's the misnomer that everybody called them out on. But they still sticking by the fact that Android 18 would have beat Captain Marvel.
I don't know if that's true or not, because I don't think, one, they know a lot about Captain Marvel, and especially, did she go into binary form?
No, she does absorb 18's energy.
She absorbed 18's energy, but still lost to 18.
Yeah. She got curb stomped. Except for Robbins with curb stomped. Yeah, she got curb stomped.
Now, you know, some Marvel just trying to claim that Captain Marvel is the strongest person they're going to do in the Marvel MCU. I don't know if that's true or not, but
she helps. I get that, but I don't know. It's just to me, and I like her, but it's just something just missing from her character. I just can't put my finger on what it is.
Well, she was interesting when she was kind of a drunk.
and when Tony Stark says you need help. Oh, that's funny.
It's not funny. You know, the woman got raped.
I didn't know that. I know that the drug part is what I'm laughing about.
You know she got raped, right? And had her powers stolen from her.
I remember she went through a period of time she didn't have her powers.
And who stole her powers?
She came, but then she got them back.
Who stole her powers?
So I don't remember.
Rogue stole her powers.
But yeah, that's when she became the Rogue we know from back in the day.
Right. She held on to Miss Marvel too long and took her powers.
Put in a coma.
Put in a coma temporarily, yes. And then, when the Avengers came and the X-Men came on, and she's standing in her bikini next to Storm in her bikini, and they both got big old headlights in their bikinis because men are dogs and. But and she, huh?
But did Marvel come back in that cartoon too?
I'm not in the book.
Yeah, she came back in X-Men too.
Right. She became binary in X-Men.
Yeah. But she came back in the cartoon as Captain Marvel.
But I'm just saying, she told the Avengers how y'all not friends of mine because y'all allowed dude to take me away and rape me, and I just sat there and applauded. And didn't try to fight for me, and y'all can go to hell, and that's one of the reasons why she became a drinker.
A drunk.
But she fought. Now she's ever since what was that? What was the one where Magneto was in charge? I keep forgetting that. When the Scarlet Witch rewrote the world, she was House M. Yes, she was like the most famous hero there was. And right. After that, she remembered that. So now she's been striving to be that ever since.
Love Scarlet Witch. Like Richard Rick. Big one.
Now, I think it's time to talk about Transformers: The Last Night some more. This is going to be spoiling it. You don't want to know about it, right? Or you want to hang around anyway?
I hang around.
Well, you know.
Doom's supposed to be here, too.
Who? Doom? Where's he at?
I talked to him Friday, and I told him I'd be calling in.
His ass probably asleep.
Probably so.
Yeah, I don't trust that dude, to be honest. Let's see if I can call him. See if he'll pick up. It's just the name Doom. It's just not trustworthy. Let's see what happens. I don't think he's gonna pick up.
Probably won't.
Son of a bitch.
Did you play that new Marvel game for PS4 yet?
I don't have a PS4.
I thought you did have a PS4.
No. Doesn't seem like he's answering.
It's a good game. I'm gonna give you a little bit of story mode.
He can call me if you want to call him. Anyway. Now, let's talk about some Transformers the last night. I have been one of the people from the very beginning who have beat the drum that these Transformer movies aren't worth the film that they're filmed on. And, you know, the first one came out, and people was like, wasn't that fantastic? And I always said, it was okay.
But it was visually good, but the storyline
really turned me off in that movie was, I saw it again in IMAX. They've re-released it in IMAX with more footage and everything that was left out. Mm. And the extra footage needed to be left out, especially when you got fat black women being loud for no apparent reason while soda machines are being transformed into Transformers because the all spark hit it. And, you know, the way all the black people were in that movie turned me off. And then, you know, the whole thing revolved around Sam Witwicky instead of Optimus Prime, which everybody wants to see. And then there was a scene where even he was a bit silly when they was waiting for him to find this the thing in his room, his glasses, and they're like, hurry up. Okay. And Optimus Prime steps back and knocks the power out, and he's walking and making earthquakes and stuff like that. So anyway, was it Dark of the Moon? The second one?
The thing that made me mad about the Transformers movie, they don't put the best Transformers in these movies anyway.
Well, Dark of the Moon came out and they came up with some stereotype Transformers who can't read. And then you got Devastator with wrecking balls hanging between his legs. That's supposed to be funny. And Optimus Prime gets killed halfway through the movie, only to be remade. And Megatron, who was killed at the end of the first movie, is rebuilt and all this other stuff. And then the third one, Dark of the Moon was the third one. The second one was Revenge of the Fallen.
Okay, I think you're right.
And the head Autobot is the villain. They almost bring Cybertron. Chicago's is demolished, and Sam Witwicky is still being silly in these films, and everybody they introduce is silly in one way or another.
Why is he a focus? Why did he even make him a focus?
Because Steven Spielberg likes Shia LaBeouf, and Steven Spielberg is the executive director. And you saw my post on Facebook, right?
No.
Well, I asked the question, when are we going to hold Steven Spielberg responsible for these Transformer movies?
Yeah, my bad. I did see that. Okay.
Okay. So then, last one, Age of Extinction comes out, and it just turns into everybody screaming, and then a 45-minute light show, and Optimus Prime supposed to be cool because he's riding on top of a Dinobot. And then Optimus Prime can fly at the end of the movie and can fly out in outer space. And they let the Dinobots run free on Earth, even though most of the movie was humans hunting down Transformers. So now we get to this one. And it's funny how in every Transformer movie, they always talk about how the Transformers have been coming here for the longest of times. I don't know if they mentioned it. I don't forget if they mentioned the first movie. Oh, yeah. Okay, in the first movie, it, you know, the whole thing that Megatron had been around for 90 years on Earth, frozen. You know, that was the thing. Sam's grandfather found Megatron, and he was part of some group that they, you know, Sector 5 or Cygnus 5 or some shit like that. And then there's the second movie. You know, they finding out Transformers was there from Egyptian times. And then Dark of the Moon, it was like they stopped going to the moon because Transformers was on the moon. Then Age of Extinction, they, you know, they've been coming here since prehistoric times. They wiped out the dinosaurs because of the metal. All this Transformium metals on Earth. So this one, they're here in King Arthur. They, you know, a transform helped King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
My goodness.
You know, bring England together. And Merlin, who's really a fraud, he's not a magician, he knew about a transformer and asked him for help. He was given his wand to control this dragon transformer with three heads. So it makes him, you know, the magician Merlin now. Because he's the only one that can control this thing with these wands. And they can separate so they become knights themselves. And, you know, when that movie starts off, you know how Michael Bay likes blowing shit up. Yep. Well, that's all he did in that first scene with the King Arthur stuff was blow shit up because the Saxons are throwing fireballs. Just blasting people. And King Arthur's like, oh, Merlin will be here. Oh, don't worry, we're going to win this. Everybody else is like, we got to run. Get the fuck out of here. Leave these fuckers alone. But most of the movie, there's no Optimus Prime because, you know, he left and then he lands on Cybertron and he lands on Cybertron only to meet Quintessa, who's supposed to be their maker. You know, they couldn't use the Quintessons like in the cartoon, but they wanted to use, you know, Quintessa, some floating female robot with tentacles who makes Optimus Prime work for her. So now Cybertron's supposed to be destroyed. He's traveling towards Earth. All, you know, the humans are still hunting. They're still hunting Transformers. And Kay Yeager, who was, of course, Mark Wahlberg, he's on the run because he's trying to protect the Autobots still left behind. Bumblebee and Hound and Drift and I forgot the fourth one and the little ones. And now Dinobots are there too. But now, other than Grimlock, all the rest of the Dinobots are baby Dinobots. The fuck? How the fuck you have baby Dinobots? I guess he thought it was cool. It would be cute.
They were grown in a cartoon.
No, I'm just saying, like, they were oversized fucking robots, bigger than Optimus Prime, three times the size, and then they're little babies. They're getting cuddled up against a girl in the bed. And they introduce this little 14-year-old, but they give her a tight shirt, you know, and she developed for a 14-year-old, because there's a scene with these other little kids, they running, and her chest is just bouncing like no tomorrow. And then the other girl they introduced, who's supposed to be a Megan Fox lookalike, but she's supposed to be super smart. And then when you first meet her, she's dressed like that porn fantasy where, you know, you take the glasses off and you pull the hair out and stuff. And then, you know, the shirt comes open because even though she's supposed to be stressed, she's still got her shirt where the cleavage hangs out, you know, and it's tight. So that's the porn fantasy. And then there's scenes where she puts on this evening gown where everything hangs out. And they even comment she looked like a prostitute in the movie. And she's supposed to be the smart one.
Damn.
They introduced a little moped, half chewed up robot to be with the little girl. I guess they wanted another BB-8. And then, of course, there's this other robot that works for Anthony Hopkins. They even comment, who the fuck is this C-3PO robot? And his personality changes. You know, one minute he's trying to hurt somebody. The next minute he's trying to be helpful. And and when Anthony Hopkins is trying to explain stuff, he's playing the organ in the background. You think it's music in the background, but it's him playing music. And Anthony Hopkins is like, cut that shit out. And then in the next scene, he's doing opera music while Anthony Hopkins is still trying to explain to them what's going on. And, of course, guess who's inside the earth?
Who?
Unicron. And that's why, Cybertron is heading towards Earth, because this is the staff that Merlin got can be used by this Quintessa to drain the Earth for all its power and restore Cybertron. And now Optimus Prime, who shows up in the last 25 minutes of the film, is Nemesis Prime, but he snaps out of it because Bumblebee uses his real voice for the supposed to be for the first time in centuries, even though he used his voice at the end of the first movie. And why they thought it was brilliant that he couldn't talk and he had to speak through his radio this whole time, it always annoyed me, even from the first movie. But Michael Bay's just, he's not even fucking trying. It's just a spectacle. It's just, let's blow some shit up, and then we'll add in the Transformers, and then we'll just have some people edit together, and we're done. People will buy it anyway. Now, luckily, here in the United States, people ain't paying their money. But, this is what I don't understand. They're trying to destroy the Autobots. But the Decepticons, they got them locked up in the prison. And Megatron, who they think, it's a good idea since we want to get the Autobots to work with Megatron, who's supposed to have been dead. He was killed at the end of the third movie. And and rebuilt as Galvatron. So, Galvatron was based off Optimus Prime. So, when he transformed into a 18-wheeler 2. So, he was Galvatron at the end of the movie. But now, for some reason, he's fucking back as Megatron that transforms into a ship. And so Megatron's like, well, I want my guys out of... I want you to release my guys. So they do this Suicide Squad introduction of these stereotype characters. Like, one shows up. What's up, mofos, motherfucking... You know, and... they get released and they get their ass kicked within like 10 minutes of them coming on screen by the Autobots. It was like, what's the point of having these Decepticons in the first place if one, they're just there to talk jive and then get destroyed?
I'm not going to check this thing out.
No! No, do not spend a cent. Find...
You know me.
Well, do it that way.
Yeah, you know me.
I wouldn't tell somebody to do it that way, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's another thing. Okay, I went to an early screening so I could do a review. But usually, certain films, I go hang out with a friend.
Okay.
And you know, so I may see a movie twice because I'm hanging out with him. And I just couldn't do it this time.
Now, let me ask you this. You go to see these movies and do reviews. You don't have to give me the exact amount. How much do you typically pay?
I go to advanced screenings.
Oh, okay. I got you. So basically, you just get there and then you walk in and that's it. Gotcha.
No, you got to get, passes from... you know, the internet or from stores, and then they don't just let you in. You gotta have a pass. So,
okay.
Like this week, I'm seeing two movies. I'm seeing Despicable Me 3, and then, of course, I'm seeing Spider-Man Homecoming. So I'm gonna be good for this week.
Yeah.
I'm passing up a lot of other movies because fuck them. Like Atomic Blonde is coming out they're showing Atomic Blonde this week, which I wouldn't mind seeing, but not over Spider-Man, so.
I want Spider-Man. I do want to see that.
And so, let's see. Now, what part of Atlanta you live? What town of Georgia you live in?
I'm in Augusta.
Augusta. So you're not near Atlanta, right?
2.5 hours away.
Did you drive 2.5 hours for a free movie?
It's got to be a damn good movie.
Well, you can see Atomic Blonde this Wednesday night. Got to wait for you to get tickets for it. But anyway. So getting back to how bad this movie is. And I try not to spoil movies, but this one, look, don't do it. Don't go see this film. Don't. Do not. It's the edited poorly. I always say that his black characters are stereotyped from one sense or another. They're never heroic. They're always loud or screaming, or especially if you're a fat black woman, then you're really loud. And black people are only there for comic relief. Even Tyrese, who was supposed to be a military guy, was only in the first movie and the third movie for some kind of comic relief. And only Josh Duhamel and sometimes Mark Wahlberg are heroic. And of course you got to have the flag, you got to have the military. There's scenes where there's special ops in Transformers, like coming out the water with their guns and everything. And it's inconsistent that half the time the Transformers have trouble fighting each other, but the military can take them out with no problem.
They just fail to do it.
No, they do take out. It's from the first movie. They was like shooting down Decepticons easier than the Autobots were. And I still don't forgive them for killing Jazz in that first movie.
Animated movie. Yeah.
Anyway.
That was foul. Particularly the way they did it. That was just foul. I need to bring my boy Astral Train to the big screen.
Yeah, they just gonna mess it up anyway. I mean, they brought in Soundwave and messed him up.
He was the shit in the damn cartoon though.
Who? Astral Train?
Soundwave.
Did you remember Soundwave in the movies?
I remember in the movies, but more in front.
What was he in the movies?
From the cartoon is what I.
No, I'm saying, what was Soundwave in the movies?
He was a tape deck, wasn't he?
No. He was a satellite.
Okay. Because I know in the cartoon he was a tape deck.
Yeah.
That's what I remember him from most.
And they had a robot transform into a boombox in the first movie, but he wasn't Soundwave.
Could that have been Blaster, maybe?
No, because he was a Decepticon.
Okay.
Because he was snuck on Air Force One, and stole information, and I think he's been involved ever since. But now he's been an Autobot since like the third movie, and he don't transform, and he got this goofy voice, that's kind of stereotypical, almost black but not quite black, and he's been with the Autobots ever since because. For some odd reason, why he's with the Autobots now, and the Autobots that was left on, they hiding in a junkyard with Mark Wahlberg, where Grimlock is going around eating cars, but they can't find him. And the only reason they find him because they put a tracker on Bumblebee, and Bumblebee can't tell that he has something attached to him. A regular car, you hit it with a tracker, yeah, they don't know. Bumblebee right. Don't know that something is sticking out of his ass.
That's a good point.
And of course now Bumblebee's been around for a long time. He fought in World War II.
Damn.
Because that's just setting up for the Bumblebee spinoff that it's going to be set in the '80s. So I guess they finally gonna make Bumblebee look like a Volkswagen Bug as opposed to a Chevrolet sports car. And then they bring in Hot Rod, and they ruin him. I like Hot Rod. I know a lot of people don't like Hot Rod because he took Optimus Prime's place in the movie, but I like Hot Rod.
And it was all right. Minute.
Huh?
It was all right.
But yeah, but this time they make Hot Rod into a sports car with a French accent. And
the one that I always had issue was Ultra Magnus.
What's wrong with Ultra Magnus?
It was Ultra Wannabe.
Well, I mean, yeah, he thought he was supposed to be the leader, and he wasn't worthy of the Matrix leadership, so. But, you know, Ultra Magnus is heroic.
He is.
Now, some versions, Ultra Magnus is supposed to be Optimus Prime's brother. But not in the original version. Anyway, I can't go on all day, because I've spilled enough, but. It's shit, people. You know, don't go see it because you think you have to see it now and spend your money. Because it's just going to... Until Michael Bay walks away from this franchise, and every time he talks about, oh, this is my last one, and then all of a sudden, oh, I think I'm going to do the next one. You were supposed to have left 3 movies ago. He wasn't supposed to do the 3rd movie, and then he came back, and then he came back with the 4th one, and came back with the 5th one.
Let me ask you this before we jet on out of here. Let me ask you this. I know you've seen the Justice League trailers. Do you like how they did Cyborg?
He's okay looking. You know, my problem when I see Justice League, it looks too CGI in the trailer.
Right.
And it seemed like it's filmed to be a bunch of action poses as opposed to actual. Stuff going on in the movies, like, you know, somebody do something cool and then poses for the camera as it zooms in. Excuse me. That's done in movies. It's done in Marvel movies. But when that's all you're doing, you're not making a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember when Scarlet Witch shows up in Iron Man 2, and, you know it's not... Scarlett Johansson doing the stunts, but you know you got to show it's her. So after she flips over a guy, you got to zoom in into her face, so it makes you think that's her kicking ass as opposed to her stunt double. Which that's a bad woman. Her stunt double.
You think we'll ever get a Black Widow movie?
Well, you know, it's been worried about them doing Black Widow, and you know they should at this point, but maybe. Scarlett Johansson's last 2 movies may not help her case now because they've been bombs. And you know, when she did that movie Lucy, and it was a mega hit, they were starting to think maybe she can carry a movie by herself. But yeah, the last 2 movies came out this year with her as the lead stunk. Mm-hmm. So. Who knows? I would like for them to do Black Widow, because especially if they can get the same people who did last 2 Captain America films involved. Or,
yeah.
Well, they can't get Joss Whedon because he's now working with DC. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, what did you didn't like, you didn't like Ghost in the Shell?
I haven't seen it, but it was a flop.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter if I liked it or not. It's a flop. It's a total flop.
I've only seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah, I was out of commission, so I couldn't go see it. But, I'll watch it soon. Don't worry. I still haven't seen Assassin's Creed yet.
I haven't either.
Now, that's terrible.
Ben Hunter told me about it, you know, when it hit. I didn't have the chance to go see it yet. I've been too busy to see like Power Rangers and Boss Baby.
Yeah, I haven't seen Power Rangers or Boss Baby.
Boss Baby's cool.
But you know, my movie's coming out this week. Despicable Me 3.
Definitely go see Boss Baby. And Power Rangers, my only issue with Power Rangers.
Minions come first, man.
Huh?
Minions come first. I'm a Minion fan.
Man, I'm telling you.
Nothing like a bunch of chicken McNugget nutsacks running around fucking up the joint.
Between now and then, go check out Boss Baby. It's a good movie. You'd be glad.
I'll check it out. Don't worry. It's just, I know it can't be on the quality of Despicable Me.
I didn't say it was. I just said check it out. I think you like it.
Despicable Me gonna make a boatload of money this weekend.
Yeah, it is.
Especially with the holidays coming up. And they need to make all this money before Spider-Man hits, because it's, as of right now, Spider-Man is supposed to be the early word. This is the best Spider-Man movie ever.
Wow. Now this one is going to be with the Marvel Universe, right? Not that Sony crap.
No, it was Sony's involved, but yeah, it was done by the MCU.
Okay. That's all the better then.
That's why people are saying it's the best one. You know, people have argued with me that, you know, like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man wasn't really Spider-Man, especially a guy who owns the comic book store I go to. He's like, that's not Spider-Man, that's Spider-Guy.
It's Spider who?
Spider-Guy. He's like, that's not Spider-Man. And then I didn't care for the last two versions of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was just decent. He wasn't great.
No, they weren't good movies. They weren't good movies.
But great. He wasn't great in that role.
You know, with 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, it's not a comic book movie, but it's a lot of buzz. Baby Driver. That's coming out this week. 39 critics all gave it a good review so far. Which means somebody's going to come along and throw a turd into the mix.
Now, you trust these reviewers? Because I noticed it's kind of funny that a lot of reviewers look at these DC movies and say they're great, they're fantastic. They pump them all up, and if you go see,
they didn't. A lot of people thought Suicide Squad was good early on, but then people started coming in saying no, they didn't think so. And critics, that's up to you to decide whether you want to listen to a critic or not. I mean, some movies, you know, critics hate, but the fans still like it. Some movies the critics hate and the fans agree. And then some movies critics love and the fans like, what the fuck you talking about? It's just their opinion. That's why I name my reviews the Unnecessary Movie Review, because it's unnecessary what I have to say, but I'm saying it anyway.
Right.
You don't like it, you fuck off, you know? I don't like telling people to fuck off, but sometimes you got to tell them to fuck off. So what are you doing this week? What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to go over all the NBA.
What do you mean going over tomorrow? What are you talking about?
Tomorrow we're going to go over.
How are you going to go over it?
Going to 11:15 p.m. right after Monday Night Raw would be episode 12 of the Sports Report. We're going to be going over all the NBA.
Oh, that's what you mean. So Sports Report. 11:15 tomorrow. Oh, okay. I never heard of the show before, but it sounds like it's going to be good.
It's live right here on Rant Eaton Radio, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go over the NBA draft.
So what do you think about the Sixers being called the Feds now?
No. That's not even the story. That Jimmy Butler trade, that's the story.
No. Okay, I'm not worried about Jimmy Butler. I'm talking about the Sixers at this moment. I'm asking, what do you think about them being called the Feds?
Why are they being called the Feds?
I guess because their names spell FEDS.
Now, you can call them, you can call them Tankers. You can call them that, because they tank.
You can call them what?
Tankers.
No, we know the Sixers was tanking, you know, but you still haven't answered my question. What do you think about them being called the Feds?
I didn't hear about that. You're the first person to tell me that.
The Sixers have sold 14,000 season tickets based off this draft.
Mm.
And, you know, the two young guys from last year who are finally going to play.
I mean, but y'all got like number one, number two, number three picks. Y'all gonna get LeBron pretty soon. Watch.
Hey, I'm good with that.
I know you will be. But now we're gonna be going over all the NBA trades, all the NBA news.
I'll even unretire number six and give it to LeBron.
See, See, now that's wrong.
No, it's not.
What?
But
anyway.
So, do you think the Sixers took the right guy, though? I know about the Jimmy Butler trade.
I like Fultz. I do. He's perfect for what they need. Somebody can come in and help run the offense. So, yeah, they definitely need it.
What about Big Baller going to the Lakers?
See, I'm one of the few. Everybody loves him. I'm one of the few. I got issues with him. I think he's 6'7". He needs to put on some weight. He needs to put on some weight.
Literally Jason Kidd with a better jump shot.
He needs to gain some weight. He needs to gain some.
To run the point.
But he needs to gain weight, because if you don't, people are just going to physically run over him.
To run the point.
Yeah, he needs to put on some weight.
Wait, what point guards are physically imposing?
Look at Steph Curry. I'm not saying he has to be physical.
He's supposed to be taller than Steph Curry.
Yeah, but he needs some size on him. Look at what happened to Steph Curry.
Well, you think he won't get bigger? He's a baby.
He's got to get bigger.
Well, that comes with time.
He's got to get bigger. Look at
you can't final, listen if he but, you can't expect look, him to just get big overnight. That won't work.
But look at the final before last with Steph Curry. He wasn't Steph Curry. He was hurt because people were just taking it to him. He wasn't physically right.
Okay.
But if you look at Lonzo Ball, he's tall, but he's wiry thin. He needs to gain some weight, get some muscle on him, and he needs to also fix that shot, because he's mechanically he's terrible.
It doesn't matter. Mechanics only matter if you can't make it.
But that's something that Walton is going to have to work on with him, because his jumper, it doesn't look right. It looks to be a weird
Uh-oh.
Type of shot. So
uh-oh.
Need to fix that.
Uh-oh.
What?
You go to AMC to see Spider-Man and get a free Spider-Man figurine.
Man, but yeah, I thought the draft overall was good. And I thought the Knicks pick was stupid. I thought the Bulls trading Jimmy Butler was stupid. But
you're going to talk about the
get into that tomorrow.
The Knicks chopping around Porzingis?
There was a rumor going around that San Antonio called them and they were trying to get a three-way trade going, but I know it would have been Kawhi Leonard for Porzingis. I don't know if I would have done that, but that was the rumor.
So why would you get a third team involved?
It had to be a third team involved because of money. Money aspect.
Okay.
That's a pretty penny. Get a third team involved for that. I don't know if I would have done that deal anyway.
Well, supposedly they was talking to the Sixers because, they wanted their third pick.
Yeah.
For Porzingis. But anyway, let me tell you about the other shows in ESPN Radio, because I bet you didn't know about them. Like on Tuesdays, a doubleheader. Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. and then the Rant live at 11.
Yes.
Thursdays, Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. A lot of 9 p.m.s around here. Friday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Then this show will be back here next Sunday, 5 p.m. What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, which gets no love. I can't get the women to call in, so they don't love me. But anyway.
You know what, though? What? And I think it was maybe late last year, brought to AA that I wanted to get a female on my show too, and I thought I had somebody, but she backed out at the last second.
You know, I had a couple of women call in. They weren't part of the show, but then, they were just using us, just waste time, and then they would say, "Oh, I gotta go," and I'd be like, "Oh, I'm hurt." Story of my life when it comes to women. But anyway, so let's get out of here. We won't hold up the thing anymore. I got to finish watching Orphan Black from yesterday.
I'm gonna do a whole.
And Preacher's coming on tonight.
I'm gonna do a whole Avengers marathon.
What Avengers?
I'm gonna do the three movies, and then I'm gonna do the four seasons of the cartoon show tonight, Mr. Kill Time.
Three Avengers movie?
Well, the two, and Captain America, his two, and so forth.
I was watching half of Civil War yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to watch it from the airport scene on. You know, it's just so good watching that. And watching, you know, everybody show that they deserve to be there. That there's no slouches. Like, you know, you think Hawkeye can't do shit, but then, you know, he finds a way. Huh?
Then you see he can.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, watching the Black Panther and Spider-Man do their thing, and Ant-Man steal the show, and everybody steal the show when they needed to. And so, anyway, man. So, don't remember to get some sleep.
Aren't they working on Ant-Man 2?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
I think it's coming out next year.
Yeah.
You know, because Henry Pym's daughter going to be the Wasp.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. From the first one.
Right. Mm-hmm. They may have Janet Devine show up, because, you know, she kind of lost in this subatomic realm. They may, you know, maybe part of the story is them getting her out. Because Ant-Man was in that realm when he made it out, so.
Right. Yeah, some good movies definitely coming out. I hope this year, next year, DC can finally catch up to Marvel. Don't know if it's gonna happen.
Well, I mean, they got some credit with Wonder Woman, yep. But you know, they gotta realize you can't have Zack Snyder be the vision of all your films. You know, I mean, I don't know what Joss Whedon's gonna do to. What these reshoots are, how much of a difference is going to make on Justice League. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't think Zack Snyder is the worst director. I just don't think he's good at directing everything.
Right.
I love Man of Steel. Wouldn't mind seeing a Man of Steel too.
Why do people rag on that movie so much? I hear people keep ragging on that.
Because of the destruction at the end of the movie between the fight between him and Zod. Mm. They think it was too much. Too much of the city got destroyed. Mm-hmm. I've always chalked it up. Look, this is the first day he used his powers, you know. Now, from this point on, he should have more restraint. But if you look at the end of Batman v Superman, that was just as destructive. And even Wonder Woman got destructive in the final battle, even though it wasn't, you know, a city being destroyed. And, you know, Justice League is going to be just as destructive in that final battle.
You did. We'll see Supes in that movie.
He's in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know. He probably won't show up till late in the movie, but yeah, he's in the movie.
By that time everything's done, he'll show up.
No, he'll show up during the final battle or just before the final battle. I don't know when he's gonna show up, but yeah, I mean, it's no secret he's gonna show up. They're acting like he's not gonna show up, but he's gonna show up.
He's gonna have to. Ain't it just to leave without him?
Yeah, but you know,
I hate to say that.
He's supposed to be dead. Dead is dead.
Yeah, he's supposed to be. And I hate to say it because I'm not a Superman fan. But if he's not there, it's not the Justice League.
Yeah, you can have Justice League without Superman, but it always helped him when he's there.
Yeah,
it's like you can have Avengers without Cap.
But it don't feel right without Cap.
No, there've been plenty of Avengers stories. Because you know, at one time. They didn't want Thor, Iron Man, and Cap be in the Avengers because they didn't want to have to explain how they could be in their own book and in the Avengers at the same time. Mm. So there was a long stretch where none of them was in there, and that's how they brought in guys like Hercules and Swordsman and people like that. These have been like replacements to, you know, having them on board, but eventually it was like, look, we want to use them. So now it's very rare that there's an Avenger team without one of the three on the team.
Like I say, it's going to be an interesting next 2 years. You know, this year and next year, it's going to be interesting to see who wins this battle. Battle of the box office.
Between who?
DC and Marvel.
Oh, Marvel's going to win. You don't think Marvel's going to win?
I mean, you don't think DC would come off that positive hype of Wonder Woman? You don't think they have a chance?
Infinity War.
Yeah, you're right. That's all you had to say.
I hope DC put out some of the best movies they ever made and do well, make all the money. But it's going to be Infinity War. You know, that's... Look, everybody already hard on Black Panther after that trailer.
Yeah.
And watch. You know, I see Marvel think they slick. And they are slick. I guarantee you that Avengers trailer will drop like a week after Justice League is out.
Ooh.
Just like they did with Wonder Woman, then a week later, here come Black Panther. Marvel's smart. They do that all the time. Just when everybody's like, oh, look at the DC. What, Marvel?
I like how you did your Facebook post that time. The mascara and what kind of real places would be better off.
That's right. Go to vacation in these places, man.
There you go, man. There you go. The mascara. See some beautiful women, boy. They don't kill you first.
Oh, they'll kill me. Go out dying though, with a smile on my face.
Yo, ain't no better way.
Be like, what are you doing sneaking around here with a wig on? You're a man.
Oh man, did they you think you'll see Nubia? I know I saw on Facebook too. They were talking about her on Facebook.
Nubia, who's Nubia?
Her black twin sister.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Alright, let's end it. We can talk later. I mean, we can talk after this, but let me end this. Alright, say goodbye, people. Say goodbye, Wham.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Take care. Peace.